Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889, and by French Market Coffee, locally roasted in New Orleans for 125 years. From WWNO New Orleans and our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. It's holiday time on this week's Louisiana Eats. We'll begin by celebrating Christmas with Chef Isaac Toops, his wife Amanda, and their two little girls, Poppy and Ivy Toops. Yes, that's right. The Toops family has a Poppy of their very own. Then, actor and New Orleanian Brian Batt drops in with his husband and partner, Tom Cianfici. They'll tell tales of Broadway Christmases past and of their crazy retail Christmases together on Magazine Street at Hazelnut. This year, Christmas Eve is also the first night of Hanukkah. We'll celebrate the Jewish Festival of Lights with award-winning author Alyssa Altman before Chef Elon Shia weighs in on Hanukkah New Orleans style. It's Christmas and Hanukkah time on this week's Louisiana Eats. ...2016 was a great year for Chef Isaac Toops. In addition to owning and operating his successful restaurant, Toops Meadery, in New Orleans Mid-City, he was given the title of fan favorite on Bravo's Top Chef California. And he recently opened up a new restaurant at our home, the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, Toops South. In addition to being an incredible chef and a media darling, Isaac Toops is also a family man with a wife and two adorable children.
We need one out here?
No, I'm good. Okay.
Louisiana Eats was given the honor of joining Isaac, his wife Amanda, and their daughters Poppy and Ivy at their New Orleans home to celebrate a Toops family Christmas and to reminisce about Isaac and Amanda's traditions from holidays past.
So, Poppy, how old are you?
5 and a half.
And Ivy, can you show me even on your fingers? How old are you?
2.
Well, I am so excited to be able to be here with you guys. So do you all stay in New Orleans for Christmas, or do you go over
Christmas to... Christmas Eve, we go to Rain. Yeah, we go see his mom and dad. And it's a big family party, which is really nice. And Kyle and his wife usually come. It's been tradition for everyone to join.
It's not that they're invited, it's just they show up.
It's just our life. It's not that Pyran's ever invited, it just shows up everywhere.
Also joining us was the children's Pyran. That's the South Louisiana name for godfather, Kyle Hamilton Johnson.
Kyle has been to more Christmases than a lot of relatives.
I grew up in that house too.
Yeah, it's just straight up.
So, Isaac, tell us about what Christmas Eve is like in Rain.
Christmas Eve, a lot of the relatives are in town, and a lot of the older brothers and sisters, a couple aunts, a couple uncles, a couple cousins all congregate at mom and daddy's house in Rain. And there's normally the night before, it's hooting and hollering. You get a bunch of Toopses together and a bunch of relatives together, and there's just a good little party. Everybody's in the kitchen, you're drinking too much. Something's cooking, because you're cooking a big for the night, for the next day, but that doesn't stop people from actually cooking a big meal that night too. Mm-hmm. It's a live to eat family. There's always a big roast of something, and like just a myriad of casseroles and dishes. Everybody brings something. That's pretty standard. My sister-in-law Jamie makes this awesome bread pudding, and Mama busts out her fish mold. It's an actual, like, you know, the copper fish mold that she makes a cooked seafood tureen in the fish mold. So she plops it out and it's straight up like it's a fish mold that's shaped like a fish. It's awesome. I'm gonna get that one day.
One thing you didn't bring up Christmas is the white elephant thing.
Oh, yeah, the steel game. And we always play.
How people tend to cheat. No one cares.
Oh, yeah. So it's a ruse. You played like the Secret Santa where you exchange gifts where it gets wicked. You know, you find we'll find one gift. We all do this the game where everybody tries to steal the presents from each other. And the rules are broken. Lies are told. Presents are hidden. Well, I mean, just like, oh, I got that. He got that. Give me that.
Tell him about the panini machine.
So it's the panini. So who, I forget who actually brought the panini machine. No one wanted it. So I think, did you get stuck with it?
Everybody wanted it, remember? And then I wound up getting it, and I just got into the competitive spirit. I didn't even want the panini machine.
Yeah.
I don't even make paninis. So right. It was just the fact that everybody wanted it, so then I wanted it.
Oh, we got the panini machine. Never opened it.
We brought it back next year.
Next year, we wrapped it, brought it back. Like,
Amanda, where did you grow up?
On the North Shore, so, you know, outside New Orleans.
And what was Christmas like at your house?
My mom loves the holidays. She's just one of those people, and she's an incredible baker. So it's not as much about the savory foods as it is about the sweet foods. Excuse me, I'm talking. And so every one of us all had a favorite pie. So my mom, even though there would maybe only be 15 of us, there was like 15 pies at Christmas time because everyone had their favorite. And so everyone had to have a whole pie of their favorite. And now I just got a favorite pie. So she, when she comes, you know, when we go Christmas together, she has to make him a cherry pie.
Cherry pie is not only my pie. It's like a couple of people's pies.
She there's make now
one.
A couple.
I don't, it's like, don't make a pie just for me. I'll eat one of those.
But she would.
And what's your favorite Christmas memory?
I would have to say, this is odd, but someone broke in our house and stole all of our Christmas presents when I was a kid.
What?
The day before Christmas. Yeah.
What?
And I remember, we actually wound up having a wonderful Christmas because my mom on Christmas Eve went out and bought like just a few little things for everybody. And we all came together and had this beautiful meal. You know, we were kids and we all understood it was like, you know, it's not just about the presents. We're just here together. And, you know, we baked all day and it wound up being like a beautiful Christmas. But yeah.
My favorite's got to be, it was last year. It really was. It was the first year that, you know, Ivy is a sentient being now. And, you know, and she comes in, and I'm sitting there right on the recliner, sitting there. And she comes around. She don't know it's Christmas. She's going. She turns around. She's all depressed, and just goes, "Ooh!" And it hit me. I'm like, emotions. Where did these come from? And you know, watching the babies really enjoy. Watch yourself, baby. Back up, please. Thank you, baby. Watching the babies really just enjoy presents and the scenery. Really, I'm about to cry now. Jesus, get a hold of yourself, Isaac. And I think like that immediate memory, just like, that's gonna stick with me for the rest of my life. That was so great. Come here.
Oh, that look on her face.
Well, yeah, it's just, I can still see it.
So what are you cooking over here, Isaac?
Oh, I got that Momo Toops' Couvillon with Isaac Toops' Crab Fat Rice.
Oh.
So I got a little salt, pepper, and a Aleppo pepper on my shrimps. I'm gonna broil that up and then add it to my Couvillon. And this is this is old school meets new school in one dish. So new school being the crab fat butter, which you know I can't say I invented, but I think I did. I might have.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Forks, knives,
I got spoons, but
spoons are good.
Oh, I'm really hungry.
I'm hungry.
I do that to people.
I wasn't aware of how hungry I was.
Growing up, that was one thing. You never went to the Tubes house unless you were hungry.
You know, Isaac and Amanda, one of the reasons that I really wanted to come spend some Christmas time with you all this year is because if I had to look at the Toops family year, I think I'd have to give this probably hashtag best year ever.
We've had a really good year.
Really good year.
We've had a really good year.
We've got two restaurants, two babies. Wife hasn't left me. What else could you ask for?
Fan favorite,
you know? I'll take it. You know, we're so lucky. I expect to get hit by a truck next time I walk outside. It's like things are going really right. I'm going like, oh God, I'm gonna set myself up for something bad. Try not to be a pessimist here.
So when you look back over the year, this past year, Isaac, what do you think your favorite moment was?
Oh Lord, that's a lot. First, I've got to remember this year. I'm going, God, we've got so much going on. It's really hard to kind of like remember exactly when did this year start.
Yeah, I blocked out. I don't remember a lot of the last year because we've had such high stress, good times, but high stress. And I lose memory whenever I get really stressed. I just don't remember stuff.
So, I mean, big memories are obviously, you know, last year the kids getting pregnant. You know, I was watching the kids growing up, opening the restaurant, getting all this publicity from and TV and whatnot, and doing a bunch of, we've just been full bore. Two speeds, dead or full bore, and right now we're full bore. And it's great. I really can't complain, but I could have slept in this morning.
Those kids don't let you sleep in.
God knows.
7 a.m.
What time does Christmas morning usually start?
Well, as soon as they wake up, which is way too early. So nowadays, what, 7 o'clock?
7.
If you couldn't keep her in bed, she knows it's Christmas time. She's out here creating a ruckus, playing the loudest instrument that she can of her toys. It's like, what's the loudest? Here it is. Ah! I was like, just go home. Mom and Daddy have hangover. Leave me alone.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel.
When we return from a short break, the festivities continue with Isaac's annual bedtime rendition of the Cajun Night Before Christmas. Stay tuned. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Rouse's Markets and from Brennan's Restaurant. Breakfast at Brennan's featuring Chef Slade Rushing's updated classic Creole cuisine. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and private events at 417 Royal Street in the historic French Quarter. Just joining us, we've been celebrating Christmas with Chef Isaac Toops and his adorable family in their New Orleans home. After an unforgettable meal of shrimp couvillon, followed by s'mores for dessert, it was time for Isaac to gather his girls on his lap for their annual tradition, the reading of the Cajun Night Before Christmas.
Oh. All right. Santa's Cajun Christmas Adventure. This book is dedication to all you Yankees that laugh at the way we talk. May y'all sound funny to us. It was the night before Christmas, and all looked to a house me. Not a creature was stirring, not even that mouse. My little kids, Ben Dodo, after hanging their stockings, man Tinkin was dreaming, and y'all, that St. Nick come a-knocking. And me in my douche rub, with my hair all set, and Papa in his rocker, fixing his tangled fishing net. True to wind we hear, them strange kind of sound, like the Nutrident took after my old rabbit hound. Tutu, I tell him, you hear that? He said, that's probably just T.O. chasing that cat. Bout in the swamp, something out our hair. Then I see this fat man with a bunch of reindeer. Oh no, Tutu say, and them things get near, those are too frou-frou to be reindeer. Pulling the fat man and a little pierrot was 8 goofy crawfish like I ain't seen no more. True to water they swim, they gonna got a rush, and he call them by name as he pouting them some fuss. Say, allons, capon, brogon, and yeah, de pachtoua, gros tête, and boudin, fais pas ça, cousin, gratin. Y'all start making monkey shines at Pabon. On the roof to my house, they got this loud noise. And I wonder, I'll tell Tutu if that's St. Nick with his toys.
St. Nick?
Down the chimney he fall, like some do all the time. But this one grab fire on his big fat behind. He spring from the fire, then he run out the door. And he laugh till me cry me. He say, safe I show. More faster than lightning, he passed from the poach. Run out my house like them damn cockroach. made like a Patin's duck. He done look at the aim. He jump in the bayou to put out that flame. Them crawfish jump in to help him get up. And he don't want to say, he float like a duck. When he bring him to land, he see the hole that he get. Shy, he get on nerve and almost took up a fit. Oh no, your pants got a hole. Put yourself inside, I'll fix him, Eto. He sit in his big johns, I sew his pants right away. Santa Claus, tutu say, ha, how about some bourree? After we get up, he say, I got to go. Put some toys in the stockings and head out the door.
Stop talking so weird.
May he wave bye-bye like he don't gotta care. Then I think he can't go past his toys in his underwear. Me, I grab his pants and I say, passe outside. I scream, eh là-bas, as he took off his ride. Then me and Tutu get in our bateau, took down the bayou to catch Zozo. When he slow himself down, may I see my chance? I aim at his boat and I shoot him his pants. Oh, yeah, yeah, my pants, he say with them grin. I forgot my underwear I was in. He take down the bayou and off to the sky. Man, I ain't never seen them crawfish that could fly. Like I all get out, then pass over my head. On them treetop, I hear St. Nick said, bonsoir, my friends, we gonna come back. Merry Christmas, y'all, and that's a fact. I can't believe you survived that.
Merry Christmas
to all, and to all a good night.
Chef Isaac Toops, his wife Amanda, daughters Poppy and Ivy, and their paran, Kyle Hamilton Johnson. For many, Christmas can become a month-long production. For Tom Cianfici and Brian Batt, Christmas truly is a production, complete with Broadway tour dates, theatrical decor, and costumes, of course. Actor and native New Orleanian Brian Batt is one half of a stage and screen power couple that now operates a fabulous gift shop called Hazelnut. We invited Tom and Brian into our Louisiana Eat studio to tell us all about their extraordinary holiday traditions. Tom and Brian, I am so tickled to say Merry Christmas to you
Merry
both.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. It's really, you know, it's one of my favorite holidays. It is my favorite holiday.
First of all, how many Christmases have you all celebrated Christmas together?
Oh, my God.
28,
this will be 29.
Well, waltz me through some of Tom and Brian's Christmases past.
Well, we used to have, in our little New York one-bedroom apartment, we would put on top of a small round table in the corner the biggest possible...
biggest tree that would fit. I mean, it was only 725 square feet.
And we morphed up doing Broadway because Tom was a performer and is a great director, too. He's directed several shows at Le Petit. We would have our cast parties, and it would always be the Sunday before Christmas. And it grew into literally the Broadway party. It was like we'd take all the furniture out, and everybody would come from their shows that we liked. And it was like, we needed that party at breakfast at Tiffany's when it's like jam-packed and everybody's, ooh, right. Yeah. And one year, Tom, way before Martha Stewart did it, on one wall with our beautiful mantle, he had...
Well, we had decided we were going to paint.
Yes, yes, the wall.
That spring.
The living room, that's where we could paint.
So I decided I could ruin the walls if we were going to paint them anyway, so I thatched the entire living room with boxwood.
Oh!
It was gorgeous.
It must have been spectacular.
What we didn't, yes, it was. But we didn't
and a
take
big fire hazard.
What we didn't take into consideration is that the steam heat in the city was very dry, and it immediately the boxwood dried up. And at the Christmas party, there were candles and stuff, and literally it got really crowded. And a stage manager from Forbidden Broadway was standing next, and someone knocked a candle over. It literally, the side of the boxwood started to go up in flames, and he took his drink and just threw it on it, and it went out, and the party went on like nothing happened. But, you know, thank God there was a stage manager there. They usually know what to do. You know, they're on it. They put out fires all the time.
What single thing can the two of you think of that it would just not be Christmas without?
Since we've been in New Orleans with the store, one mm-hmm. that's happened every year is, you know, we're exhausted on Christmas Eve.
We've literally
wrapped literally thousands of presents, and we're almost in tears.
Weary. Christmas weary.
And we make our way to Commander's Palace.
For
Christmas Eve.
Because over the years growing up, we all did family growing up. And then, you know, as we got older, we would do the family, then run to the Brennans on the third. You know, now it's Lauren and George's, and with all the Brennans and T and all the different extended. We've all been families, friends for generations. And now the tradition continues there. And sometimes we pop our head in and say hi, but we really love going to Commander's for just a relaxing Christmas Eve dinner after everything.
Christmas Day, what foods have to be on the table, and where is the spread usually held?
Ravioli.
Ravioli?
Yes. Yeah.
And used to, and he has his grandmother's ravioli rolling pin. They used to throw all and make the ravioli on a big marble table, and everyone would sit around and make it together, which is just a beautiful family tradition. And he has that pin with pride.
I love it.
It's beautiful. I think traditions can be born, and you take from the past and use what you like and works for you. You know, our lives were changing constantly with what show we're in, what city we're in. But, you know, the reaching out to family, whether it's the family you're with at the moment in a show, or your family, you know, that you're friends with, or your blood family. Now that the kids are older, we started having a Thanksgiving dessert at our house. But it was a couple of years, and I really enjoyed it, inviting family and friends just for different desserts after they've had their big meal.
Well, I know that there's nieces and nephews who have grown up with the two most magical uncles on the face of God's earth. What are their Christmas traditions that they look to you all for? What would they be distressed to miss?
I think our Christmas morning outfits.
That and the fruitcake.
And the fruitcake. Well, that's a double entendre.
Let's start with the Christmas morning outfits first.
This is a new tradition. We kind of one year just like had, he had red corduroy pants and I had green pants, and we put on this red and these hats with, you know, just kind of went crazy with these. And we showed up, and my cousin Barbara, we were like, wait, we have a photo session with these outfits. And it was just
crazy.
Just having fun.
All right, you gave it away about the fruitcake. You know, fruitcake is a very polarizing issue.
What's a doorstop?
So what's the deal with the fruitcake?
I'm kidding. I don't make a fruitcake. I make a panettone.
Okay, that is a tradition. He makes the best panettone.
And I do candy my own fruit to put in the panettone.
And you know what it makes even, it's great. Plain panettone?
Panettone bread pudding.
Panettone bread pudding and panettone French toast.
Oh, I knew that loaf bread was coming. Well, gentlemen, I am so grateful that you gave us this glimpse into Christmas at Tom and Brian's house. Oh. And I have to say, from all of us, thank you so much for being our very best Santa's helpers. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That was Tom Cianfici and Brian Batt. For award-winning author and food blogger Alyssa Altman, the holiday season means a sometimes contradictory blend of Christmas, Hanukkah, and secular traditions. Alyssa shared with us some of her earliest memories growing up with Jewish American immigrant grandparents in Queens, New York, and
what her holiday looks like today.
Well, Hanukkah, you know, Hanukkah is a funny thing. I mean, I recently found out from my mother that my mother was also, you know, raised in Williamsburg, Brooklyn during the 40s and 50, early 50s, and she never celebrated Hanukkah. Hanukkah in Jewish history is a relatively small, I mean, it's a very meaningful holiday, but it's a relatively small holiday that really traditionally, according to what I have been told, was not really observed until the 1940s, 1950s, when, you know, when Christmas really started to take, I mean, it always took off in this country, but, you know, it became a really popular sort of hallmark Santa in every store kind of holiday. You know, Christmas music on every, you know, every television station, every radio station. So I grew up wanting a Christmas tree. We were not, you know, we were not religious and we were not observant. And my grandmother, Gaga, loved Christmas music. I mean, absolutely loved Christmas music. And she, living in Brooklyn, the part of Brooklyn that she raised my mother in was a very mixed community. So they had neighbors who were Italian. They had neighbors who were Irish, who were Polish, who were German. And so everybody celebrated everything. There was Christmas all around them all the time. And so I grew up hearing Christmas music constantly. My grandmother loved it, played it for me all the time.
But she never missed any of the Christmas specials on television, right?
Oh, no. I waited all year for them. I mean, everybody was suddenly so nice to each other, you know?
Her idea of a really good time was David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy, huh?
Well, that was, you know, that was one of the things that really stuck in my mind, because my grandmother was at Gaga, was in our kitchen making latkes, frying potato latkes, when this came on television. And I sort of vaguely knew who David Bowie was, but I knew certainly enough to know that he was really the last person in the world who would ever sing The Little Drummer Boy with Bing Crosby. And and Crosby was my grandmother's favorite singer. So I got up and I ran into the kitchen, and my grandmother drops the latkes and comes running back into the bedroom with me. And they were singing her favorite song. Little Drummer Boy was her favorite song. So, you know, my home was it was a mass of contradictions. We loved Christmas. We loved Christmas music. We loved the meaning of Christmas. She had this thing where every Christmas season, she would wait for me after school and pick me up at the bus stop and take me into Manhattan, take me to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and then walk behind the altar where at Christmas there is the model of the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And she did this for years. And I found out recently that she also did it for my mother, too. I can't explain it. I don't, you know, I still can't explain it. But at the same time, I would be told, you know, we're not Christian, we celebrate Hanukkah. And my parents would go out and buy this sort of plastic menorah that you plugged in that had orange lights, and there was always one that was flickering and threatening to burn out and buzzing. And the idea of Hanukkah, of course, was that, you know, where gift-giving was concerned, you got a gift for every one of the 8 nights, which I thought was pretty fabulous. But I, you know, again, we didn't really celebrate it. I didn't really know what the meaning of it was until I was old enough to read for myself what the story of Hanukkah was. And of course, like many holidays, there is an enormous amount of overlap. So it's a season of light. It's a season of miracle. So it sort of confused me about, you know, why I couldn't celebrate both of them.
Well, what is Christmas like in your house in Connecticut now, or Hanukkah, or that entire season? What's it like?
Yeah, well, we, you know, like many non-observant Jewish Americans, you know, I we don't have children, and I have long thought of Hanukkah as a holiday for children. we have a little silver menorah that we will light. We bought it in Italy when we were there a few years ago. And Susan, my partner Susan, is it was raised devoutly Catholic in a home where they did Christmas really well and they celebrated really well. We have both a tree and a menorah, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
There's this sort of mythology, and of course, we're down here in the South, and Lord, if you live in Louisiana, you're pretty much culturally Catholic, even if you're a Buddhist. And so we don't really, as a little Catholic girl, I don't quite have a full grasp of this, but I always hear stories about how Jewish people spend Christmas Day, and it somehow involves Chinese food. And you write in your book about, you know, there's a bar mitzvah, and then there's shrimp with lobster sauce. And could you address that whole Chinese food enigma?
Sure. My father used to say that you could always tell a Jewish neighborhood by the number of Chinese restaurants in it. And it took me a long time to understand what he meant. But basically, Jewish American culture is certainly at the table, has a very close connection to Chinese food. And it's usually Cantonese Chinese food. It's usually Chinese food of a certain type. And every Sunday, certainly of my childhood, every Sunday night, we would go out for dinner to our local Chinese restaurant, where we would invariably eat things like shrimp and lobster sauce. Of course, shrimp is not kosher and lobster is not kosher. We would eat their sort of matchstick shaped meat with the red tip. That's not chicken. That's pork, you know. And Dad used to say that the only time pork was kosher was when it was in an egg roll. And for years, you know, many people have tried to kind of unravel the connection between Jewish culture and Americanized Cantonese Chinese culinary culture. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that on Christmas, and certainly on Sundays, when most restaurants were closed, the only restaurants that were open were Chinese restaurants. And so that's where Jews went. And I think that there's some validity to that. You know, I also think that it has to do with being part of a culture that was seen largely as foreign and outside the community. You know, there was an enormous influx of Chinese to the United States at the same time as there was an enormous influx of Jews into the United States from Europe. So we came here almost at the same time. We immigrated almost at the same time. And we, I think, were also a little bit on the outside looking in at a certain point in the 20th century, in the late 19th century. And that, I think, formed a certain kind of relationship that ultimately wound up at the table.
Alyssa, I would love to wish you and your family a very, very happy Hanukkah.
Thank you so much.
They told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
That was Alyssa Altman, author of Traif, My Life as an Unorthodox Outlaw.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Why are Hanukkah foods often fried? Stay tuned, and we'll answer that question when we come right back.
Say the day came from living peace away. So peace on earth when we come.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers.
Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, and from French Market Coffee. French Market Coffee's premium blend beans are locally slow-roasted in small batches, creating a coffee that can only be called New Orleans Bold. Spin that funky dreidel and let the games begin. It's bound to fall on one of each. None give more hay or shit. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Culinary Institute. Why are Hanukkah foods often fried? The 8 days and nights of Hanukkah are celebrated with foods like latke and sufganiyot because in 165 BC, when the Jewish troops, the Maccabees, defeated the Syrian Greeks who had defiled their holy temple, it needed to be purified. To purify the temple, the Maccabees set out to burn ritual oil in the temple's menorah for 8 days. But much to their dismay, they discovered there was only 1 day's worth of oil left in the temple. They lit the menorah anyway, and to their surprise, the small amount of oil lasted 8 full days. This is the miracle of the Hanukkah oil that's celebrated every year by lighting the menorah candles and gobbling up as many potato pancakes and jelly donuts as possible. You have to love a holiday that involves that kind of delicious indulgence. Wishing a very happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish friends from all of us at Louisiana Eats.
Hi, my name is Alon Shaya. I'm the chef and owner of Shaya Domenica and Pizza Domenica restaurants, and I'm really excited to talk about Hanukkah with you, Poppy.
James Beard Award-winning chef Alon Shaya has touched upon many cultures with his cuisine, from fine French cooking to chef de cuisine at Besh Steak, the Italian-inspired Domenica, and Pizza Domenica. We sat down with him at Shaya, his Israeli-themed restaurant, to discuss Hanukkah and the holiday season.
I love cooking for all holidays, whether it's Passover or Hanukkah or Christmas or Thanksgiving. And I opened Domenica 7 years ago. And so for me, that was my only restaurant at the time. And it was my way to really utilize, you know, the love that I have for cooking for holidays. And I would start cooking these holiday menus. It really started with Passover at Domenica because of our friend Alan Franco. I used to cook Passover meals for him and his family. And then when we opened Domenica, they started bringing their friends there and we would entertain them there. And then I was like, well, let's just cook all the holiday meals. And we started doing Hanukkah and making latkes and the donuts and all the other great like fried foods that are very popular during Hanukkah. And, you know, people like you and Stephanie Grace and all these great people would come and support us every year that we would do these meals. So it became this tradition that we really kept up with. And every time you guys showed back up, I knew we were doing something right. And it really made me feel good because that's what kind of holiday meals are all about, is like tradition and bringing people together. But, you know, I would always cook like Jewish influenced foods with like Italian kind of backbone. Now, with Shaya open, we moved the holiday menus here because it just kind of makes more sense to celebrate one of the Jewish holidays at Shaya than it does at Domenica. And it's great because everybody that used to go to Domenica now comes to Shaya and we can have fun with the menu and do a lot of great stuff with it.
Now, you came to the United States from Israel when you were how old?
I came when I was 4.
So I imagine you don't remember Hanukkah in Israel, do you?
No, I don't. No, not at all. I do remember growing up, you know, and celebrating it with my family as a child. And one of my favorite things to do, one very typical dish of Hanukkah, is to make jelly donuts because, you know, it's the miracle of oil, right? So you're celebrating things that are fried in oil. And so my mom would make deep fried donuts called suvganyot. And she had this little jelly gun that it looked like kind of like a caulking gun, but it would be filled with like raspberry jelly or strawberry jelly. And my favorite job during the holiday, during Hanukkah, was to stuff all the donuts full of jelly and see how many clicks I could get before it just exploded, you know, with strawberry jam just popping out of all the holes. So that's something that I really always think about during Hanukkah. And I always have some type of donut on the menu during the holiday at the restaurants to kind of honor that memory.
Ellen, we've talked before about your childhood and what an amazing childhood you had, because you had to step up and be the not only the man of the house, but also man the kitchen by the time you were in second grade. So your childhood Hanukkahs couldn't have been easy for your mom, but tell me some other things that you remember that she did, because she was working so hard to take care of you all.
Yeah, you know, I think the way I look at, you know, my mom growing up, I feel like we all made life harder on her than we ever needed to. And she really, you know, for her, keeping the tradition of the holiday and having us together as a family during Hanukkah was very important for her. And so she would make the time, and she would, you know, we would all light the menorah together. We would all say the prayers together. She would always make latkes. She would always make suvganyot, those jelly donuts that she loved to make. And she would always include me in the preparation because she knew how much I loved to cook. You know, I would always be given several jobs in the kitchen to do to get everything ready on time. So she delegated and used her resources, and also I think took advantage of the fact that I liked to cook, and that was her way of getting me to, you know, spend time with her during the holidays without me running off to go play video games or run out with my friends.
Growing up as a young Israeli American, was there anything that stuck out at you about the contrasts that you can find in Hanukkah and Christmas? And did you ever sit on Santa's lap?
I never sat on Santa's lap, but I would always be very jealous of everyone that could. You know, like, we definitely grew up pretty poor. And the thing about Hanukkah is that you get a present every day for 8 days straight. So it seems like it would be, you know, a lot of presents, but I would always love going to my friend's house who were Christian and helping. I would love to help them decorate their Christmas trees, and, you know, I'd always kind of marvel at this huge pile of presents under the tree and the lights on people's homes, like driving around and seeing all the homes that were lit up, and, you know, ours would just have this little candle, you know, the little menorah in the window. And so I looked at it pretty much from a jealous standpoint more than anything, to be like, man, how come we don't get to have cool lights on our house? How come we, you know, don't have a tree in our house that we get to decorate, and all the different songs, you know, that are on the radio all the time? So but that was kind of par for the course for me, you know, like growing up always wanting more and always not happy with just what I had. But, you know, that's why I really applaud my mom even more for working so hard to keep those traditions alive. And looking back at it, you know, I really wish that I would have, you know, participated even more than I did. But, you know, I was a rebellious little crappy kid that just did what he wanted. And it makes me even more appreciative of how much work and energy my mom put out there to keep us in line and to keep the traditions really strong.
Well, we all know that when you're a chef and restaurateur, it is very difficult as far as holidays at home. Right. What kind of accommodations do you and your wife, Emily, make for Hanukkah because you're busy here cooking dinner for everybody else?
Well, you know, I've gotten used to it because when you get into the service industry, you are cooking for everyone else that is celebrating something else. And so, you know, I've always kind of gotten used to missing the opportunity to enjoy Hanukkah during, you know, the first night or the second night of Hanukkah. But the good thing about Hanukkah is it's 8 days long. So there's plenty of time, and we make the time to celebrate it. We'll sometimes throw a latke party at our house and have a lot of friends come over, and we'll make different kinds of latkes and have a big latke topping bar with all different kinds of toppings.
Like what? What goes on the latke bar?
Oh, I mean, everything from, of course, like your traditional applesauce and sour cream, but also, you know, caviar and roasted eggplant, like cooked down, or maybe there would be, you know, like some brown butter and sage, you know, that's like that's warm that you can drizzle over your latke before you eat it. We've done everything from, you know, different types of salads, that like root vegetable salads, like beets with rice vinegar and rosemary, and we've spooned that over our latke. So we have a lot of fun with it, and we definitely try to have some things that people find to be kind of like familiar and comforting, but then we also throw some things in there that might be a little bit more interesting and different.
What about when it's just you and Emily? Surely you all must have some Hanukkah special traditions between the two of you, because you're still fairly newlyweds. How long have y'all been married?
It'll be 5 years in March, yeah.
Well, that's plenty enough time to create traditions.
Yeah.
So do you have anything special that the two of you all do alone?
Well, we light the menorah together at the house. Sometimes it's a little bit after the sun goes down. You know, you're supposed to light it right before the sun goes down. But if I get home too late from work, we'll light it after, just to keep the tradition alive. And other than that, you know, it's pretty low key. Exchange some presents here and there, and really just, you know, we call my mom together and wish her happy Hanukkah. So we definitely have some of our own little traditions as well.
Tip tap toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. My little latke on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go.
That was Alon Shaya, chef and owner of Shaya, Dominica, and Pizza Dominica.
Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Jump real high, happy Hanukkah, jump, jump high. My little fruitcake on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go.
That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats. Be sure to tune in next week when we say goodbye to 2016 and Chase family patriarch, Edgar Dookie Chase.
Well, he met me at a dance. He was up on the stage directing his band, and he told everybody, I'm going to dance with that girl. They said, are you not? She's going to dance with you.
On Thursday, January 12th, Louisiana Eats is teaming up with French Market Coffee for the first in a series of celebrity chef dinners to benefit the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Join us for an evening of fun and fine dining as Brennan's executive chef, Slade Rushing, prepares a three-course meal paired with wines from Bin 428. To see the menu and buy tickets, visit my website, poppytooker.com. Have you missed an episode of Louisiana Eats? Hear today's show or catch up on previous editions anytime online at itsneworleans.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and take us with you wherever you go. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, French Market Coffee, and Rouse's Markets. Additional support for Louisiana Eats is provided by the Shreveport-Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau and from Dickie Brennan's Bourbon House, from oysters to redfish, serving fresh Gulf seafood on Bourbon Street.
Original theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to producers Joe Schreiner, Sarah Holtz, and Reggie Morris. Come visit us anytime in our Louisiana Eats studios at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. I'm Poppy Tooker. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO and the University of New Orleans.